You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also call and text directly from the Civic Media app. Oh,
that's right.
So make sure you download it wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app, and you can call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to across the Civic Media radio network, like Maggie Dawn, coming up later on today from 4 to 6 p.m. At 4:30, Maggie's going to ask, what Whopper is worse? So you can help pick this week's biggest lie of the week. So many things to choose from. And then I love this too. Ask Maggie.
Yeah.
Ask Maggie. You can submit questions. She will answer anything. Ask Maggie kicks off the 5 o'clock hour today. The Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. It's Friday. That means we do some recombobulating with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Happy to be here at Matinair on Air.
Glad to have you with us. And I know as you were driving in, you were listening to some of the things we were kicking around a little bit. We were talking about.
I was, yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg is going to make us friends. Yeah. AI-generated friends.
You know, this is such Silicon Valley brain to make friendship a numbers game.
Yeah.
Right? Like to make it, oh, we have the perfectly calculated algorithmic setting to show you how many friends you have and how many you really want. This is just, it's not a numbers game. Like, can we not make everything
about numbers?
About like maximizing potential of, you know, revenue generating friendships or whatever that they're talking about with this. It's just such nonsense.
Well, and I just think it's the danger is this is only going to increase isolation.
Yeah.
Americans are lonely. This is not something new. We've talked about this a lot, but I don't think surrounding ourselves by AI generated friends is the answer to have us make more social connections out in the real world. It's kind of going backwards.
Yeah, more artificial social media generated stuff
and
is not going to. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I wish you could be going the opposite direction and not caring about the number of friends or whatever, or likes or
seriously,
all of that. That is like warping all of our brains, but just get back to just normal human connection.
Well, and
I think it is, again, it's just such Silicon Valley brain to like think about this in terms of a numbers game. Like, think of like your lifelong friendships and the things that matter to you. It's just like, oh, well, I have three great friends, but I'm unsatisfied because that number is not, it's just like, come on, this isn't, I don't know. It just seems so silly to me.
Well, and I think it's dangerous, actually. Yeah. I just think it's unhealthy. I think we need more face-to-face interaction, and you need people who are going to call you out from time to time. That's what good friends do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what good friends do. Mm-hmm. Also, Deep Thought, the boat.
Oh, yeah.
We had another donor.
So there's another donor. Yep. So there was a second boat that got beached, the one that was trying to dislodge or move the
deep thought,
trying to move that one. And then that one also got stuck on the beach. And so is this a third boat that's going to, how many boats are we going to end up having stuck on the beach between McKinley and Bradford Beach on the lakefront in Milwaukee? And how many other places in Milwaukee could use a $10,000 anonymous donation to fix something up? I can think of about a dozen intersections off the top of my head that are greater threats to public safety than that boat sitting there on the dumb water.
On the dumb water.
Well, that's not a bad point. I mean, that money could be used for many, many other things. It is an eyesore. It is a danger now because we have people crawling all over it, and somebody's going to get hurt, and they're going to sue.
Yeah, I went down there. I went to pay my visit to the boat to the boat on Milwaukee Day to do a goofy little picture for my Milwaukee Day sale. Yeah. And so I went down there and there were a couple people there. And so I'm just like making chit chat and I'm just like, oh, you guys just here to check out the boat too? And the guy who was sitting there, he's probably like in his early 20s or something. And he's like, oh yeah, I just climbed onto the boat, went inside, whatever. He's like, I think somebody's been living in there and whatever. So like there are reasons to probably address what's going on there. But also like, I drive through intersections every day in Milwaukee that are genuinely life-threatening.
And hazardous.
And so put that boat in the middle of 35th and Wisconsin.
Then maybe something will
there,
get done. Move it
there. Maybe something, somebody will do something
a roundabout,
about it.
Put a, make a roundabout. Just dump the boat right there in the middle.
That's where I want to move the boat. Yeah.
That's called art.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. We did also want to talk about the AmeriCorps cuts.
Yeah.
And this is something, again, I think a lot of people assume that these programs only affect blue states and the cuts to these programs only affect people in blue cities. That is not accurate. These are affecting people all over the country. This is from Politico. Doge hits Trump country. 3 months in, it's become clear it's not just federal Washington-based programs and overseas aides that are in the bullseye for Musk and Doge. Cuts are hitting home in the reddest parts of the country. Yeah, it's going to affect all of us.
It's going to affect all of us. And I think, you know, just the announcement of like, again, this is kind of following in the pattern of what Doge has been doing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yep, all of it's gone.
Yeah.
All of it's gone.
Yeah.
All of the money for your jobs and your jobs and all of it's gone immediately now. We're not winding anything down. We're not scaling anything back. It's just
gone.
Snap. Gone.
Yep.
And so I think that is, you know, it's not just that they're doing these certain things at times. It is how they're doing them. Mm-hmm. So it is this part of it, too. And I think there are a number of programs that are kind of like AmeriCorps adjacent or funded for like some of the jobs like within a certain, you know, organization or like AmeriCorps funded jobs and things like that. I know Public Allies in Milwaukee, like there was a bunch of debate a couple of years ago about like what direction this like very important organization should go. And now I think there's like a threat of it being gone entirely because of this. And I saw some comments from the state representative and the mayor of Green Bay talking about all of like the conservation work that AmeriCorps people have been doing in and around like the actual bay of Green Bay and things like that too. So like there is so much that is like, this is the type of thing that we should be doing more of, encouraging more people to be, you know, participating in public service and getting involved in the process. And like all of these, this is often a pathway for people to, you know, build careers in public service. People will go into politics after this and people will go into and have this understanding of these different experiences. And I think we are just absolutely shooting ourselves in the foot and just, you know, we're cutting the wrong things at the end of the day. Like if we're talking about like one of the biggest priorities that we should do, like dealing with youth homelessness, which is one of the programs that is being cut in Wisconsin through AmeriCorps, like that is something that we should be spending some of our resources to address.
And youth homelessness is on the rise.
Yeah.
And it's something that you said earlier in the show when we were talking about the $1 billion cut for mental health education for counselors in schools. It's just being propped up as this doesn't align with our priorities. There's a big like Ivy League word they would use in their letters saying it's cut because it doesn't work for us and it's not a good investment. No, these are all great investments. And as you said, Jane, all of these cuts are going to affect everyone, not just New York City and not just Chicago or Los Angeles. It's going to be everywhere.
Civic Media has a great piece on the effects of these AmeriCorps cuts across the state, and it's broken down into different counties.
Yeah.
So, for example, the University of Wisconsin system, Wisconsin 4-H expanding access, that's gone.
Yeah.
Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, that's gone. Wisconsin Math Corps, gone. WISCOR, gone. In Brown, Outagamie, Calumet, and Winnebago counties, Green Bay Conservation Corps, United Way, Fox Cities, Marshfield Clinic, University of Wisconsin System again, Wisconsin 4-H expanding access, homeless and runaway services. It goes on and on and on and on.
Pat said something very interesting this morning. He said, whenever you talk about this topic as far as like cutting programs and cutting, don't like people want to say, well, we're cutting these you know, unnecessary items. Like, no, these are programs that serve the people. Every time you hear cuts, you're always, because as we mentioned before, they're not making cuts to the military. They're not they're not cutting Congress's pay or their health care insurance. They're making cuts to the programs that affect the people who need it the most. And they see them as individuals who don't vote for us or don't have enough influence. So I don't need to care about them because I just spit it as it's a waste of money. Let's get rid of it.
It's what Republicans always do, too, though, is they talk about waste fraud. We're going to address waste, fraud, and abuse in government when actually that is the Trojan horse to just gut the social safety net and cut services and make, you know, we're not going to end up doing more with less. We're going to end up doing less with less. Yeah. And so this one of those programs that you mentioned, the Wisconsin Association for Homeless and Runaway Services, that was on the list of cuts from that Civic Media article. In the Journal Sentinel piece on this, they said the organization received $359,500 this year to get 17 AmeriCorps members placed in shelters across the state, giving out food, clothing, and hygiene items, working to get children either back home or to another safe place. I think that is worth $350,000.
That's a pittance. That's a pittance.
That's
not waste, fraud, and abuse.
That's Post-its for a small department inside the Defense Department. That is nothing. That's catering. That's nothing.
When we're talking about the federal government and the budget, it is minuscule.
Yeah. Right.
The amount of savings they're getting from these cutting these programs is minuscule.
We're probably going to end up paying more in the long run because people who are not getting care or not getting something from a safety net are going to end up being a larger drain on resources in some way or another.
Well, and that's one of my whole gripes with this administration is I do not think they look long term.
No.
They don't look at the damage down the road or what's going to happen from these decisions down the road. It's we're going to do this immediately because for one thing, we need to announce these things so we look good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it has to happen right now. But again, they're not taking into consideration the ramifications from these decisions.
Mm-hmm. I think that the current administration is an amplification of an already dangerous mindset that GOP has always has. Like, let's get them cheering and clapping and excited and get them on social media. But because we can't try to explain the nuance of long-term planning. Whereas, and it's very clear that the Biden administration did not do a good job of touting their victories throughout their 4 years. But that is a perfect example of everything sucks right now. But you give us 18 months to 24 months, we'll be getting better. And that's what happened. And we're sitting here saying, things are going a lot better than it was, but people say, but my eggs are too expensive.
Right now.
Yep, right now.
Among the money that is going away, and again, in some states like Alabama and Wyoming, the entire grant for AmeriCorps is just gone. These were grants to build homes, respond to disasters, and support veterans.
I'm fine with my tax dollars going to those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think most people would be.
It's called looking closely at what these organizations do, not just coming in and axing all of them. Because honestly, I don't think they have any idea what these organizations do. I really don't. I don't think they've looked at it that closely.
Well, I mean, think it's part of the Project 2025 stuff where it's just like any type of thing like this is just falls under the umbrella of liberal do-gooder category. Yeah. And they just think all of that and have always thought all of that is nonsense.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer. You can join us as well. 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area, is here. We wanted to talk, Dan, a little bit about the incredible turnout that we saw in the latest Supreme Court race, especially from the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, pretty remarkable story. We always hear the negative stories about voting in Milwaukee.
Yes.
We don't always hear about the positive ones. So let's take a moment to talk about a positive story about voting in the city of Milwaukee.
Yes.
So this piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that quoted a number of smart people like my friend John Johnson from Marquette University and Craig Gilbert from Marquette and a few other people just talking about how turnout in Milwaukee for the spring election was far greater than it has been in other spring elections and really exceeded expectations for this as well. And this was, the case across the city. And this wasn't just like, you know, we got a really high boost in turnout in downtown or whatever it might be. It was really citywide. And some of the biggest jumps were on like the northwest side and the south side, where you don't always have as consistent
right.
Of turnout in Milwaukee. And I think this is, you know, there's a lot of groups that, you know, do year round organizing and do regular voter conversations, things like that. I'm thinking about my friend Angela Lang, who runs Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Mandela Barnes is quoted in this piece with the group that he works with. Is Power to the Polls is the group that he works with to promote, you know, kind of civic engagement and things like that in Milwaukee as well. So I think there's a number of these groups that have gotten involved in doing things instead of just being like so many people do in the media landscape in Wisconsin, just go out and point fingers at Milwaukee
yep.
And blame. I know there was just like certain moments where it's like, oh, Milwaukee didn't. If Milwaukee turned out like this and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? We got to celebrate it when it happens. And Milwaukee had really remarkable turnout last fall in the presidential election. I think there were a couple things that were like, you know, grouping Milwaukee in with like Detroit or Philadelphia or some of these other cities where like Democratic turnout really was flat or down or whatever. And then that was not the case in Milwaukee last year. That was certainly was not the case in Milwaukee this spring. So kudos to the people in the city of Milwaukee and the people there doing the work day in and day out to help people, you know, get into the process and build those bridges for people to get involved and get engaged.
And that kind of goes back to Ben Wickler's leadership of Wisconsin Democrats and the whole, we cannot just show up 2 weeks before an election and expect people to come out and support us. It is about doing that all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
The long range planning of it all. I also want to just bring up a point that is, you know, in all the hubbub about how quote unquote terrible Milwaukee is and the voting and the blah, blah, we cannot forget that just last November, one Senator Ron Johnson went to the Central Count to check up, as they always like to do, and he came away with another Republican. It was a candidate. I don't think it was Tony Weed. It was somebody else. But they said everything is great. It's running smoothly. It's wonderful. I want to put that on a billboard and run it all year round because every time they say it's a cesspool, it's poison, it's a sham, Ron Johnson, the biggest skeptic we have in this state, said, no, Milwaukee runs smoothly. That's it.
And just showing – that's what people find when they actually show up and go to Central Count or whatever it is and just like I think that was State Representative Scott Krug, who used to be the head of the Assembly Elections Committee. And he was actually the guy that was actually the Republican pushing for the early count bill on the Assembly side. So kudos to him for actually like showing up and doing the work.
I'm surprised he hasn't been punished for that, actually. I am.
I mean, it's your surprise is not unwarranted.
Seriously. Yeah. And I think it is worth reminding people, because this is going to come up again the next time we go to the polls. Oh, there was a ballot dump in Milwaukee County and there's cheating and blah, blah, blah. No, the reason why that happens is because they are not allowed to start counting ballots until the morning of Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
if they were allowed even a day earlier to start counting absentee ballots, that would not happen. We had a measure, as you said, authored by a Republican, Scott mm-hmm. Krug, that would have mm-hmm. allowed them to do that. And it got voted down, in my estimation, because the Republicans want to continue to use this as an excuse and as a squirrel.
They don't want to solve problems. They yeah. want to blame Milwaukee.
Yes, and absolutely.
Then, yeah. And then they sealed the cap on that by voting into our Constitution the inability for other people to help fund the voting process, a.k.a. Zuckerbucks, which I'm sure he wouldn't do now if he had the chance. But they really want to make it very, very hard to run elections. And that's just what it is, voter suppression and voter intimidation, period.
One of the quotes from this piece on what happened in Milwaukee is just like Ben Wickler, like you said, with Ben Wickler talking about like, we're going to run a year-round campaign,
yep.
which, you know, as media members, we're exhausted by your work, Ben. But it's a strategy and it's a smart one to get people just like year-round involved and engaged in what's going on. And one of the strategists, Patrick Garosky, who is part of the Susan Crawford campaign, and he said his quote here was, "We wanted to achieve surround sound. Any screen, any radio, any way that you receive information, we wanted to be communicating with you, and we did." And it was a strategy for them to have that surround sound strategy in Milwaukee specifically, and it was effective.
Yeah.
Apparently worked. We got news coming up next. Dan Schaefer is with us from the Recombobulation area, also Civic Media's political editor. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For a relaxed weekend, once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Join Nightlight with Pete Schwabe tonight, 6 to 8 across the network, the Friday edition of the show. Our wonderful Terry Barr, the genie of just about everything, she does everything across the network, is going to be joining Pete tonight at 7:30 for a Barr Band Friday to kick off the weekend. Terry's very involved in the music scene.
Yes, she is.
She knows of what she speaks.
I love hearing Civic Media hosts and people on his show because you get used to certain things from people, like talking about news, talking about this. And when you're on Pete's show, it's just, you guys want to talk about trash TV? Let's talk about trash TV. And it's just a fun, good time.
It's a great way to wind down at the end of the day. Yeah. So join Pete weeknights, 6 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the multi award-winning Recombobulation area, is here. It is audio survey. We're going to get to that in just a second. Let's have a little cleansing. Let's just pull the bad tooth. And let's get it out about the box.
All right. Yeah. Last night we had our event for the Recombobulation area last night at Third Space Brewing.
Very nice.
You guys were both there.
It was very fun. Yeah.
Thank you for being there. Thank you to everybody who was attending that event. It was great to be with people. But as I was meeting with so many people, there were just so many people were asking me, "Are you okay?"
I said that to you. I said, "How are you doing?" You said, "Fine." I go, "How are you doing?" And he's like, "Is this in reference to the box?" I'm like, "Yeah, it really is."
How are you really doing?
Oh, man, that was a tough loss. Really a tough loss. I mean,
it was ugly.
My brain keeps shouting at me at random times over the course of the day. They were up 7 with 35 seconds left, and they lost.
Yep.
It was just super brutal and really a bummer on so many fronts. you know, I really don't understand. Like, I'm still discombobulated.
Sure.
From the loss. But now we're kind of facing this, you know, inevitably difficult summer for the Bucks, and there's going to be a lot of questions on what's next for the team, right. A lot of questions on what's next for Giannis, for the coach, for everything. Like, they gave the general manager, John Horsta, extended his contract, so he'll be around.
Yeah.
But I think at large that this summer, more than any we've had in a really long time, is going to introduce a lot of uncertainty to Milwaukee Bucks.
Do you think Doc is gone?
I'm hoping he is. I don't know. I think he could be. What I'm kind of wondering if could be a scenario for him is if maybe he's not the coach next year, but he moves in some sort of role. Like front office type role. Because I do think like his presence in the organization maybe is a positive thing overall, just as like a mentor to a lot of young players and just like somebody who has standing in the community and has these like longstanding ties to Milwaukee and all of that. I think that could be. But he was not very good as a coach this year.
Yeah, he wasn't.
That was one of the bigger frustrations. But, you know, he didn't have that much to work with either because I don't think the roster was really built to be a championship contender at this point. Like, we just kind of been playing out the string. And then, of course, the Lillard injury is just, you know, just further complicates everything. And it's just such a bummer for Dame, who had this issue with the blood clots and worked his way back from it, came back. You know, finally we get healthy Giannis and Dame in a playoff series together. And then he tears his Achilles. And, you know, you tear your Achilles in your mid 30s as an NBA player, not typically the same player after that. Yeah. So it's just, there's a lot of, it's a bummer. It's really a bummer.
Well, we'll recombobulate over the summer.
Yeah.
Is there
as far as the Bucks go?
Is there any other team really quick that you like now that they're gone? It's like, I want this team to win.
Not really.
I get that.
I kind of am enjoying the Minnesota Timberwolves a little bit because I like their star Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
But rooting for a Minnesota team feels a little bit gross.
Doesn't feel right.
All of my rooting interests now are based on like past grievances from like old Bucks playoff games. Like, I'm going to root against James Harden no matter what. I'm going to root against, like, I really enjoyed the Warriors for many years because I love watching Steph Curry. As soon as I saw Jimmy Butler put a Warriors jersey on, I'm out entirely. Because he wronged us in so many ways.
I couldn't root for the Raptors because I didn't like Drake's behavior at the playoffs.
Eastern Conference Finals six years ago. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on.
Yep.
Audio survey. Here is the question. What technology do you refuse to use? 855-752-4842. What technology that everybody else is just, this is the greatest thing. You got to get this thing in your house. I use it all the time. What is the thing you refuse to use? 855-752-4842. Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. I'm really curious to know what's your tech you don't want to use.
Well, I won't use any of, like, I don't have a smart TV. I don't have Alexa or anything like that because it's scary. Because I was talking with my mom a few days ago, and she was just kind of scrolling through Google, and all of a sudden there's ads popping up. And she's like, but why is there ads for, you know, vehicles showing up? When I was just sitting here a few days ago talking with my husband about purchasing a new Chevy, and all of a sudden I start seeing all these Chevy ads.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's freaky.
Yeah. Well, it's that. And the other thing is AI. I don't even like using AI because it's just freaky how that's going to edit everything too, and how people are going to be out of jobs, and it's like listening to you in the background. No.
I appreciate that, Brian. Yeah. Thank you so much. See, I'm with you. We do have a smart TV, I guess, but we don't have an Alexa. There's enough things listening to me already. I have a cell phone. I have a Samsung Flip.
A 2-hour radio show.
Well, that too. To you. But as far as I don't want Alexa or something lurking in the background. It creeps me out.
Yeah, we have an Alexa sitting in our kitchen, and every once in a while that little yellow thing would come on. I'm like, oh no! So I turn the microphone because we don't use it. It's just there. I want to throw it out. I bought a phone, and as a part of their thing, they said like, hey, would you like a Google Nest, which is the same thing as the Alexa or whatever. It's just a different name. And I got it. I'm like, And I gave it to a friend because I just don't like the idea. Because it already happens with my phone. I remember when I was looking at smartwatches. Oh, my God. For 2 months, every ad on Instagram was a smartwatch. And by the way, they're all junk. But, yeah, that I totally understand. You can't get away from it, but totally the smart everything. I have a smart refrigerator. That's dumb.
855-752-4842. What technology do you refuse to use? 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. PJ on the live stream. I refuse to use any and all Apple products.
Interesting. I want to know why Apple.
Apple specifically?
Yeah, because if anything, like don't they have like a mission to totally protect you? Like they wouldn't comply with warrants because of they wanted to protect freedom.
Privacy. There's
like a
privacy,
security, yeah. Some yeah. security. Yeah. They've gotten like they had, you know, I think it came because they got hacked or whatever, yeah. But like they had the big security push, and I think that's part of it too. Yeah.
Yeah. I am trying to withstand personally AI as much as possible. Like people will find the art, and what people don't understand is that when you type in AI art, you actually are, you know, micro ripping off artists because it pulls from different things and it's pulling from the original works of others. So I try to stay away from that. I don't like it as a writing tool personally. I don't like it. If you want to use it, that's fine. But AI, I'm trying to keep an arm's distance.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Galvin, what about you? What technology do you refuse to use as our resident young person?
Well, I'm with you, everyone, on the AI stuff, but a weird one, and it's becoming increasingly unavoidable with new cars, but I prefer to just plug my phone into the radio to play the music. I hate the hands-free Bluetooth, Apple Play. I just find it unnecessary.
I have that on my car, and Apple Play totally works like as a Bluetooth, but in order to use Android Play, I have to plug my phone in, and to me, it just that seems like a step backwards. I'm the opposite. I love the hands-free because I don't want to be encumbered by a phone. But yeah, I understand that too, but I love it. Bring it on.
855-752-4842. What technology do you refuse to use? Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. I still refuse to use online banking. Venmo or anything like that. I want to know where my money is going.
I don't think you're alone, Ollie.
No.
I don't think you're the only one who feels a little twitchy about online banking. And I wouldn't use Venmo.
I use Venmo. I mean, not a lot, but like it's super convenient. But I won't. You know what I won't do? I'll go on my app and transfer money between my accounts if I need to. Easy. I will never screenshot a check and deposit it that way. If I have a check, I go to the bank and I hand it over. I say, here, make this go away. But I,
Well, and maybe I will bank online,
yeah,
but I would never use my phone for that.
See, I was just going to say something about that. I think there's like a generational thing with just like using your phone versus using a computer for serious things.
Yeah.
If I have to book a flight or if I have to do like, if I'm transferring, like doing a small Venmo or whatever, I'll do that on my phone. But if I'm like booking a flight or doing like my taxes or my online banking, yeah, or like whatever it might be, I need to be sitting at a computer.
Which that's does not so make it more secure.
No.
Right? Well, it's
no,
the same but level
for some
of
reason, it's like I was talking about this with like someone younger than me, this like a Gen Z millennial thing. Millennials have to do things on laptops. I know somebody who is like a Gen Z who is like writing an entire column in the Notes app. Oh. And I'm just like, that seems crazy to me. But sitting down at a laptop,
that is crazy. As a Gen
that's
Z
how
person.
Things should be done.
Say that
serious
again.
Activities.
Say that again, Calvin.
As a Gen Z person, typing out an article in your Notes app on your phone is crazy.
Yeah, it is. I don't understand. Yeah, the patience you have to type it out is insanity to me. And I don't know if it's a generational thing, Dan, just because I will do as much on my phone as humanly possible. Like I've booked flights. I've never written like a thing. I've put jokes into my, like a lot of comics are like, oh, I gotta have a notebook. I'm like, no, I have an apps. I have a notes app on my phone. That's great. Cause I lose notebooks, but to write an article, Calvin, you're absolutely right. That's crazy. And that's the kind of patience I'm not equipped with.
855-752-4842. What technology do you refuse to use? Cassandra says, I love my hands free. My mom jokes to everyone. She was always, as long as the radio works, I'll drive it. And that's what I don't have, I don't use my Bluetooth in my car. Of course, I also don't answer my phone in my car because I'm an old person.
You can do it. You have the option.
I have the option to do it, but I don't. And because when I use my phone, I pull over.
Oh.
Because I'm an old person.
I get that too. I love getting text messages from people in my car and having my car read it because it's just like, text from mom. Don't forget to call me later. I need you to come over. Or especially if someone swears. Oh, a robot swears the best.
Anne from Chippewa Falls is going to have the last word on this. Anne, what did you want to say? What technology do you refuse to use?
Yes, I don't think it's generational either because we don't have a computer here at our house, my husband and I. And so we use our phones for everything, and it does suck. It sucks.
That was great.
Thank you, Anne. Final word, it sucked. It sucks. Okay.
That's funny.
Thank you, Dan Schaefer, for joining us. Really appreciate it. Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. You will not regret it. Coming up, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing in a Wild Crocodile edition. That's on the way on Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Machines
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball action coming up later on today. The Cubs at the Crew, 6:35 broadcast start. You can listen to the game on terrestrial radio, WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls near Butternut, and WBZH in Hayward, Wisconsin. The Crew hosting the Cubs. The game, our broadcast rather, starts tonight at 6:35. Coming up for you on Monday, Beyond the Cheese.
It's back,
it's
baby.
It's back, Beyond the Cheese, where we highlight industries outside of dairy in Wisconsin. We're going to be talking to Mitchell Hoyt, who is one of the owners of Skinny Sticks.
How did we come up? I think it was...
This was from Civic Media. It was either Melissa Kay or Terry Barr.
Okay, yeah. And we were just like, Skinny Sticks.
Skinny Sticks. It's maple syrup related.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to learn about that. And if you're going to be wanting to buy maple syrup, you're going to want to buy it from somewhere in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Just saying. So that's coming up on Monday. We will be doing Beyond the Cheese in hour number two after the 10 o'clock news. Right now, 11:54 Calvin. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
I want to give a shout out to my husband. He is the one who sent this in. Headline reads from that bastion of journalistic integrity, The Sun, Harvey Gay with the byline, Croc Horror. Horror moment, idiotic tourist is savaged by 15-foot crocodile after climbing into beast's cage to pose for selfies. A 29-year-old man jumped into an enclosure that had a big fence.
Probably the sign, too.
A big fence in the Philippines. He thought it was a statue of a crocodile. So he climbed over the chain-link fence, waded through water, and then took out his mobile phone, smiling. Unfortunately, just moments later, the fun all stopped when the crocodile bit his arm. She started to do the death roll that crocodiles do.
Yeah.
When they try to drown their prey so they can have lunch later.
Yep.
It took 30 minutes before a zoo worker was able to get in there and rescue him. He was not killed, which is astonishing.
Yep.
It's astonishing this guy made it. He did manage to get out of this crocodile enclosure just with a wounded arm and thigh. He did receive over 50 stitches. Local police say the tourist was walking around. He saw the crocodile. He thought it was made out of plastic. He climbed the fence and entered the enclosure, at which point the crocodile attacked him. He did add the man's behavior was dangerous.
Oh, good. Self-actualization.
An onlooker says, I don't know why he would do such a stupid thing, but I'm glad the man is alive and the crocodile let him go after they hit it in the head with a piece of concrete. The man's leg was not broken again, but he did suffer arm and thigh wounds. He's really, really lucky he got out of there alive.
And I'm really happy. I mean, I'm not happy that they had to use a blunt object to save him. But this is just another one of those. This crocodile was just sitting there enjoying its life.
Doing crocodile things.
Doing crocodile things. And then we're in a, like as you said, an enclosure with a high fence. And I'm sure there were signs saying something in the effect of, hey, don't do that. And he did it anyways.
Well, but isn't this to me is just, we will do anything to get likes on social media. So can we stop liking people who do stupid crap like this? Maybe then people will stop doing stupid crap like this.
Jane, I'm way ahead of you. I stopped liking people doing stupid crap like this a long time ago. This makes me just go, huh?
But obviously, you want to be an influencer. I mean, you know, that's what you got to do, I guess.
We're also talking about it, too. So, I mean, that's... But yeah, it's... Not everything needs to be documented, and selfies aren't always important, and...
It just... Yeah, don't... Don't.
Just don't.
Just don't.
Just don't.
How about that?
How about we start with just don't?
I think that works.
We're not doctors or lawyers, but just don't.
Otherwise, it's just Darwin in progress.
There you go.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, coming up on Monday, we're going beyond the cheese with Skinny Sticks. Really looking forward to that. If you ever have a business that you would like us to highlight that is not in the dairy industry in Wisconsin, please send it in. We would love to know. Send it to janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next, and then Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Have a great weekend on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.